The pitchfork was a weapon of last report, and I set it under some bushes where, hopefully, I could grab it in a hurry, and the bad guys wouldn't notice it. I'd left Daryl and Christy arguing with Arielle, but Jesse and Lucia had already been taken to safety. I wasn't out front long when Daryl came out the door, turning off the porch and yard lights as he did so. He strolled out to me and listened to the car. The driver had been driving back and forth a bit. Country roads can be tricky when all you have is a direct line to your target. Was Wyota tracking Christy somehow?
How sure are you about this being Gaiota?
I shook my head. Could be a lost tourist. Could be a couple of kids out exploring. Could be a neighbor who bought a new car. Did you talk Arielle into going?
No. That took Christy.
Daryl stripped off his shirt and began his change at the same time. I could tell by the sparkling feeling in the werewolf magic that followed all the wolves around. Tonight, it felt especially obvious, as though all my senses were on high alert.
Never thought I'd be grateful that Christy can lead people around by their noses before. Your tame vampire took Christy and promised to be back for Arielle. I am very grateful that all vampires can't jump places like that. They'd rule the world, no doubt.
Daryl dropped his shirt to the ground and started shedding wristwatch and rings.
If this is Gaiota, we don't have a chance.
I know. All day I'd had this feeling of impending doom. Usually I'm the optimist in the party, but today was different.
It's going to take me about 12 minutes to change, even pushing it. And whoever that is, they'll be here in two. I called Adam's phone, but no one picked up. Likely right about now, they're all in the middle of changing, and no one will be able to listen to the message. Stefan said to tell you that he'd keep calling until he got hold of someone. He said that if he had the juice left, he'd come back and help. But from the looks of him when he vanished with Christy, I think it'll be a while. If the car is Gaiota, it will be too late for the two of us. I watched the fight in the garage, and Adam says you both have been toast if it weren't for Tad.
Yes, it's too bad Tad is locked up in Fairyland.
We could run.
No, the Tibisenas are faster than we are. Gary and I ran from them, and if Coyote hadn't pulled one last trick, they'd have caught us. This is pack territory. I tapped my foot on the ground. That helps in a fight. Not much, but we were going to need everything we had.
I'm going to the barn to finish changing. It'll be safer if I have a few seconds to orient myself. My wolf is aggressive when I first change.
He kicked off his shoes and dropped his slacks.
I'll come help as soon as I can.
If there is no use, you run, okay? Daryl shook his head, his eyes bright gold in the moonlight. His teeth were sharper than they'd been a second ago.
My wolf won't leave you, Mercy.
He left, a dark shadow among darker shadows, almost invisible to my eyes. But I could hear him as he ran for the barn. I saw the headlights of the oncoming car for just a moment before the engine cut out. And, a moment later, the headlights went dark. Night is seldom really silent. Branches rustle in the trees and grass. Frogs croak. Night hunters add their calls. But tonight, gradually, the only sound left was the wind. The odds that the car was Wyota skyrocketed into the certainty zone. Our best chance was for me to kill the Tibisenas, one of whom was my friend, and then to hold Wyota off in the hope that somehow someone was able to reach Adam. Gary could answer the phone. Maybe that was why he'd had to go with them. Maybe Wyota would finish off Daryl and me, then head back to his home, where he'd find Adam and the others waiting for him. Probably he'd track down Christy if that's what he was doing. It must not be a perfect method of finding her, because she was gone and he was still coming. Maybe Wyota would manage to kill us all. It felt like that kind of night. Cookie was on alert in the house. She was answered by the Tibisenas, one on either side of me. Judging by what I had learned while Gary and I had been chased by them, they were maybe 100 yards apart. The sound they made wasn't the same one that had made my blood freeze when Coyote had taken Gary and me out. Maybe that meant they were still in a vulnerable form, something I could kill. A darker shadow moved where there hadn't been a shadow before, and Juan Flores, who was Wyota, stepped out where I could see him. I didn't bother aiming my gun at him, though I remembered that he'd staggered back when I'd shot him before. He stopped at the edge of the lawn.
Where is she? Where have you put her?
He looked so human, but so did I supposed.
She's gone. We sent her away when we heard your car.
I don't understand you.
He had a faint frown between his eyebrows. I know. For a moment, I wasn't scared, just sad. He was so lost. She's not who you think she is.
Yes. Yes, she is. Do you think that I would not recognize the face of my beloved? I looked across the room, and there she was. She knew it too. I come to you this night, made strong from hot, new blood, but I need her to feel complete. Without her by my side, I am always hungry.
There must be more bodies somewhere.
We are ready to renew the hunt, and she cannot be hidden from me. But she might be hurt if we are forced to continue to hunt her. That is the nature of a hunt. I don't want to hurt her. If you tell me where she is, I won't hurt her.
He was sincere. He didn't want to hurt her. I thought of Kyle's story and wondered if perhaps he had not meant to hurt the goddess he'd kidnapped and raped. Intention and results are often different. No. As soon as I refused, Flores's eyes flared red, and his face, though still human-featured, lost any resemblance to a real human expression.
Take her!
Something dark and hot moved in the darkness to my right, and I raised the gun. The bullets didn't even slow the Thebesina down. When I felt its too hot breath, I dropped the gun and dove for a pitchfork. And then we danced. The figure seemed to draw the darkness around itself like a cloak. Even with my night vision, I could not trust my sight to tell me where it was. But the coyote knew, and I let her guide my steps. The pitchfork was a better weapon against the Thebesina than the mop, crowbar, or wrench had been against Wayota. The long wooden handle didn't heat up, and the metal ends didn't burn, as long as I didn't leave them on the Thebesina too long, because it had quickly become apparent that the Thebesina, like Wayota, was a creature of fire, of the volcano where it had been birthed. As a test, I hit the beast hard, sinking the tines in a few inches, then jerking them out. The wounds glowed red, and something bubbled out for a moment. Then, it took just 2 seconds for the holes to close. I didn't dare hit it any harder, or I'd lose my weapon. The wounds still disturbed whatever it was that kept me from seeing the Thebesina, and I caught a glimpse of it, huge and hairy. Wayota was turning in a slow circle, ignoring my fight with his Thebesina as he searched for something. Christy. I danced faster. For a few minutes, we were at a stalemate, the Thebesina and I. I couldn't hurt it, but I was moving too fast for it to hit me. As long as I could keep the speed up and my coyote could sense its attacks, I was okay. A few minutes is a long time in a fight, and all I had to do was hold out long enough for Daryl to come. But there were two Thebesinas. I caught a glimpse of the second one when it slapped me on the head with its paw. I stood on cracked blacktop in a schoolyard. There was a swing set in front of me, and Coyote sat on the only swing, moving it back and forth a few inches by wiggling his bare toes on the ground. It was one of those swings you see in parks and schools, with thick chains attached to a big, flat strip of rubber. The pink scrunchie was gone, his braid bound by a strip of white leather. I'm dreaming.
You're dying.
Coyote lifted his head from where he'd been watching his feet to meet my eyes.
Your neck is broken. Do you feel any different? I always wondered what other people feel when they're dying. For me, it's usually like this.
He let go of the chains and clapped his hands once.
And I'm back to normal. Except not quite where I was a moment ago.
How do I kill Wayota?
He shook his head and backed up slowly, letting the swing ride up his back.
You can't. It is impossible. Besides, you are dying.
It didn't sound like my death bothered him very much. He tilted his head.
Do you know that burn on your cheek looks like war paint?
Gary thinks you're just playing with us.
Coyote nodded soberly as he hopped gracefully on the swing and let it carry him forward, then back.
Gary has a reason to, but he doesn't think like you do. He thinks Coyote hates me and has thrown me in jail.
He leaned into the swing and used his legs and back to build momentum.
You think? What good comes from Gary laughing dog in jail with the gift of prophecy he hates so much? Could it be that perhaps, just perhaps, both of Coyote's children have a chance of surviving if they're working together?
He gave me a sly look.
Not that it wasn't funny to see his face when he realized we'd stolen a police car, and he was parked in front of the police station.
Why did you show me the Tibisenas?
Didn't you want to save your friend Joel?
You answer a lot of questions with questions.
Do I?
His smile turned smug, and he leaped out of the sling, landing on his feet but letting his body fall forward until his hands rested lightly on the ground. He lowered his eyelids, and suddenly, there was nothing lighthearted, nothing funny about him, just a primordial fierceness that burned down his spine.
I guess you aren't dead yet, are you?
The words wrapped around me as my vision went dark.
Good thing coyotes are hard to kill.
I opened my eyes and realized I was crumpled on the cool, damp grass, and there was a Tibisena crouched over me, licking the long wound in my arm. I couldn't move. My body knew that moving would hurt, and it just wouldn't respond to my urgent demands that it do so. Arielle's battle cry let me take my eyes off the Tibisena guarding me. I'd never seen Daryl and Arielle fight together, and they were beautiful. For the first time in my life, I wished I were a singer like the Maroc and both of his sons were, because only music would do them justice. Arielle was still in human form, and she held my pitchfork as a weapon. Her clothes were burned and, I imagined, hidden by the night. There were also burns on her skin. She was muscle and grace and speed as she stabbed and pivoted, jumped and dodged around her husband. Daryl's brindle coat made him nearly as hard to track as the Tibisena's magic made them. Most wolves fight with instinct. Some, as I had tonight, fought with instinct and training. But a rare few hold on to enough humanity to use strategy. And that strategy was what made Daryl and Arielle so impressive. He charged and leaped, she struck and rolled, and somehow neither of them was where they'd been when the Tibisena, who wasn't guarding me, lunged and tangled herself up with Wayota. If it had only been the Tibisena they fought, I would have had no fear. Wayota, even in his fiery dog form, was not as large as his Tibisena. But there was no question who was the nastier predator. While the Tibisena, Daryl, and Arielle fought with everything in them, Wayota played. Daryl bled from a dozen small wounds, and as I watched, Wayota struck him again, and a shallow cut stretched from Daryl's shoulder to his hip. It was a wound from Wayota's claw, only without the heat he could generate, though the wet grass smoked and he left blackened patches wherever he stood for longer than a breath.
Are you going to let them die while you watch?
My muscles would just not move. I struggled like a bodybuilder trying to lift weights that were 100 pounds too heavy. The Tibisena quit licking my arm. I stopped struggling as I met its eyes briefly and saw Joel in them. The Tibisena shook his head, and the long rock-like hairs that ruffled his neck rattled together, the connection broken between us. He went back to my arm. He had worked a piece of skin loose and was tearing it away, swallowing it. I had a terrible, wonderful idea.
Joel!
The tongue that had been traveling back to my arm paused, and his sullen red eyes met mine again.
Didn't you want to save your friend Joel?
That's what Coyote said when I asked him why he'd shown me what the Tibisenas were. And I'd seen that the spells that tied Joel to Wayota's immortal child were a lot like pack bonds. I didn't have the walking stick, but I could see the struggle that Joel still fought. Stefan had said something about bonds when he'd been apologizing for not breaking the one between us. He'd implied that a bond taken willingly was stronger than one that was forced.
Answer the questions I ask you, and I can help.
I had practiced drawing on my mate's power, and now I drew it around me, finding that I could borrow a little strength. That was useful, but the important part of Adam's power that I preempted was his authority.
You don't have to say your response out loud. Joel Arocha, I see you.
Garnet eyes glittered with borrowed light.
Will you join with us, the Columbia Basin Pack, to hunt, to fight, to live and run under the full moon?
There were ritual words, but I'd been taught that the ritual was secondary to intent in all werewolf magic. I thought of Joel, tough, thoughtful, and big-hearted, and welcomed him into my family. I held his eyes.
I claim you.
I felt the familiar gathering of pack magic until it burned in my throat, until the next words were determined more by the magic than by me.
We claim you, Joel Arocha, son of Texas, son of the Canary Islands, guardian of four-footed cousins. By my flesh and blood, that is the flesh and blood that belongs to the Alpha of the Columbia Basin Pack, is our bond sealed. From this day forward, you are mine to me and mine.
The first sign that what I'd done had worked was the now familiar burn in my chest as the pack absorbed another member. Joel staggered, and for a moment, his weight pressed down on me unbearably. I didn't think I'd been out for more than a second, but when I opened my eyes again, The Dibisena, who was Hoel, was no longer standing over me, but fighting with the other Dibisena. I couldn't see Daryl, but Arielle was lying with a knee bent in the wrong direction, and she wasn't moving.
What did you do?
I couldn't turn my head, but Wyota moved into my field of view. The huge fiery dog form that Wyota wore was oddly lopsided. His left side looked exactly as I remembered. Glowing red eye, crackled skin that showed the moving currents of molten substance that flowed just beneath. The other side was dark, the light beneath wholly extinguished. And as he staggered, half dragging himself from the battleground to where I lay, the outer surface of the dead side began to lighten to gray and crumble when he moved.
How did you steal?
Adam's great blue-silver wolf was there, with Warren and Honey. They landed on Wyota at the same time, their fury as bright and shining as Wyota had ever been.
Screw me and stake me out.
Gary's voice was in my ear.
I think she's dead. How could she be burned this badly and not be dead?
He was talking about me, but I didn't remember getting burned. Coyote had told me my neck was broken.
I've sent back stakes that were this overdone. Mercy?
Not dead yet.
You're gonna have to try that again.
Not dead yet.
Finally found a sibling I could stand to talk to for more than 10 minutes, and I gotta tell you, you look bad, Mercy.
I licked my lips. They cracked, but I talked anyway.
Got here sooner than expected. You did, I mean. Did you get a call?
No, but someone's phone was going off every 2 minutes until one of the werewolves killed it. Please save me from being trapped in a car with that many angry werewolves ever again. They were all mostly changed to wolf, barely, when I had another seeing. One of the big ones. Saw you and a couple of werewolves fighting Wyota on Honey's front lawn and realized why I had to go with the wolves. Took me a while to get them to understand. And once they did, I had to drive, because they were all too much werewolf already. And let me tell you, oncoming headlights when you have a migraine are no kind of fun.
Gary turned to look, and that let me see one of the Dibisenas bite deep into the other and shake it until it turned into a much smaller thing. I recognized the mutated woman that the walking stick had once shown me. The Dibisena, who was Hoel, dropped her to the ground. She writhed once, then was still.
Look.
I was happy to know Arielle wasn't dead.
Look at Wyota.
I strained my eyes to the side until I could see the wolves fall away from the thing that had been Wyota. Something inside me loosened. Adam was alive. Wyota's dog form dissolved around the man whom Christy had known as Juan Flores. Though there were wolves all around him, it was my eyes Wyota sought.
I'm so hungry. Where is she? She was supposed to be here.
And then, where he'd stood, there was nothing. No wisp of clothing falling to the ground. No dust or ash. He was just gone. Adam turned to look at me, and I tried to get up. But the movement sent sparkles through my vision, and I was lost in darkness. The smell of cleaning solution woke me briefly.
She's suffering from a broken neck.
It was Samuel, but he sounded so sad, so I tried to listen. Maybe I could cheer him up.
I'm sorry, Adam.
She's alive.
I sank into Adam's voice, like it was a warm sea.
It's probably better if you talk to me. Don't pay attention to all of that.
I was lying on a thick field of new-mown grass that smelled a lot better than the cleaning fluid had. I watched the sky where small groups of clouds chased each other like little ducks.
They do have you on some strong stuff. But you'll remember this anyway. Wyota isn't dead. You can't kill one of his kind unless you destroy what he represents. That need not concern you. Although I wouldn't be in a hurry to go visit the Canary Islands for a while. A few years and he'll forget. He shouldn't have worn a human seeming for so long.
Like you did when you became Joe Old Coyote.
Not at all. That cloud looks like me, don't you think?
The bigger one?
Yes. That one that looks like it's about to eat an egg.
No, that one's a rabbit.
Rabbit? That's a coyote.
Laughing was a mistake. My vision went black for a few minutes. Then slowly, the sky, clouds, and grass were back.
Don't do that. It makes it difficult to hold you here. I break things. A lot of things. But I don't want one of them to be you, so just rest here.
What about...
It was difficult to be worried. Most of me wanted to just watch the clouds drift by.
Let me talk. You don't know what questions you want to ask. Unusual decision to bring Hoel into the pack. You could have used the walking stick to cut the threads of Huayota's spell. And that would have done the same thing as you managed to do with the pack spell. Maybe. Maybe it would have just burned to ashes. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the pack with the Tibisena in it.
I didn't have a choice. I gave the walking stick back to Beauclair.
Did you? Anyway. Huayota, being separated from that which gave him life, the volcano, needed two anchors to hold him in his human seeming and allow him his power. Two anchors who were connected to his island. Why two? Why male and female? Who knows? Doubtless there is a reason. And if you meet him again, you might ask because the answer interests me.
Never. I am never going to the Canary Islands.
Coyote shifted in the grass beside me.
It's supposed to be beautiful in the Canaries. There's this underground lake lit by torches.
No.
Maybe Gary will go. But in any case, when you claimed Hoel, Tibisena and all, and through the magic that allowed Huayota to live away from his island out of balance, and it unraveled.
Then Hoel will go back to being just human?
That depends.
On what?
I turned my head, glimpsed his face, then my world went black again.
Why don't you just die?
After a moment, I realized the hiss in my ear was Christy.
I know it was you. I know it. And now I look like a freak.
Mom!
She's nasty and vindictive. Everyone thinks she farts rainbows. And look what she did to me. I'm blue!
Christy had used the bottle of shampoo she'd left in my bathroom. I hoped the dye hadn't stained the tile, but it would be worth it if it had.
Ugh!
She's gone to get coffee, Mercy.
Jessie's breath was warm on my ear.
I love her, but the dye was inspired. You are terrifying. I can't believe you got her while you were... while you were in the hospital. I told her she should leave it. I'd dye my hair blue again, and we could be twins. Even Arielle laughed at her expression, though she turned her head so Mom couldn't see. I wanted so badly for her to be happy. But I can't make her happy. All I can do is love her. Do you think that's all right?
She patted the pillow beside my head.
You need to wake up pretty soon, though. Dad needs you. So do I.
The sheets were very white and scratchy, and the blankets too thin. My toes were cold, and I was lying on my side. I wiggled to try to pull my feet up and get them warm.
Mercy?
We need to get new blankets.
Whatever you want, sweetheart.
I took a deep breath and realized that I really was awake, because it hurt. The sun was shining, the AC was on too high, and I was in a hospital bed. Adam leaned forward and kissed me, then I kissed him back. With interest. Adam rested his forehead on mine, and I felt his whole body go limp.
You are so stoned, baby.
Am I fried?
What?
He rolled his head a little so he could see my face.
Burned like a crispy steak.
No. Not as bad as it could have been. Not as bad as it was, I think, is the better answer. The cheek scar will have a companion on your forearm, and I'm afraid the shotgun pellet scars have some company. Might be a while before you are happy about walking on your left foot, but that was just blisters, and Samuel says it should heal with no scarring.
No modeling contract.
Not in your future, no.
His dimple flirted with me.
You'll have to make do with me.
Coyote said I was dying, and Christy wanted me to.
Coyote, huh?
Adam gave me an odd smile.
I went to grab some coffee that first night you were here, and when I got back, he was sitting on the edge of your bed as a coyote.
Adam rubbed his face.
Samuel said the first x-ray showed that you'd broken your neck. He wasn't optimistic, but after Coyote had his visit, things got better. As for Christy...
His skin next to mine flushed, and his eyes lightened to amber for just a moment.
Christy has been banned from the hospital. She decided to stay at Ariely's until she figures out whether she's going to move back to Eugene or a job search over here. They managed to get the blue off her skin, but she had to dye her hair black. You are not her favorite person.
Ariely's okay?
Ariely is a werewolf. She was down for a couple of days, but as of yesterday, she's fine.
The muzzy feeling was retreating.
How long have I been out?
3 days, and you've only been mostly out. Samuel said you wouldn't remember much of it, though. He also said that they'd probably let you out tomorrow morning, since there are now no signs of a broken neck.
Hoel?
And I thought I threw the fox in the hen house when I brought you into the pack. Hoel is... Yesterday, he stayed human for almost an hour.
Coyote said something about Hoel.
But try as I might, I couldn't remember what it was.
Coyote also said we should avoid visiting the Canary Islands for a couple of years.
I'll bear that in mind.
Adam was quiet for a while, resting his upper body alongside mine. Eventually, he sat up.
If I don't move, I'm gonna fall asleep.
He looked tired, beautiful, but tired.
I'm gonna go find some food, and I'll bring back some for you, okay?
Sure.
Don't cause any trouble.
Me?
The dimple came out again.
I'll be back soon.
As soon as he left, I sat up. I had to pee, and I had no intention of letting my bathroom activities be a public event ever again. I wasn't as bad off as I had been after the fight with the River Devil. As long as I didn't need a wheelchair, everything else was gravy.
I swung my legs down and realized that Adam's recitation of my injuries had limited itself to burns.
My left leg was encased from my toes to about 6 inches above my knee. My right forearm was bandaged, but my left elbow was immobilized by something with more structure. That I hadn't felt them meant that I was still on a lot more drugs than I'd figured. I gave the IV still hooked to my right hand a look of respect and decided not to pull those out the way I'd intended to. The IV stand was on wheels. It could come too. I slid off the bed and got about 6 feet when it occurred to me that this might have been a bad idea. I wobbled, recovered, wobbled again, and would have fallen if I hadn't grabbed the walking stick at the last minute.
Well, hello. I didn't expect to see you here.
Mercy Thompson, Book 8, Night Broken, by Patricia Briggs, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2014, Patricia Briggs. Recorded by arrangement with ACE, an imprint of Penguin Publishing Group, a division of Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2025, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Kaya Freites as Mercy, with Gregory Linnington as Adam, Marlon Dancehui as Gary Laughing Dog, Sarah Ruth Thomas as Christy, and Julian Daly as Juan Flores. With additional performances by Joey Sorlis, Nick J. Russo, Alex Hill Knight, Jessica Schley, Nazia Chaudhry, Mike Carnes, Torian Brackett, Renee Dorian, James Lewis, John Vertulo, Raynor Gabriel, Daniel Yaka, Laura C. Harris, Nora Ashradi, Chris Davenport, Taylor Cohan, Debbie Tinsley, Christopher McClendon, R.J. Bailey, Delton Engel Sorrell, Gerald Hill, Brian Kim McCormick, Christopher Graybill, Mike Siporkin, Brew Aju, Jameson Hunt, Tanya Maloyevich, Eric Messner, Drew Kopis, Helen Day, and Karenna Foley. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Laura C. Harris. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Vanessa Thurlow. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Mercy Thompson Book 8, Night Broken, you may also enjoy the Riley Adamson Epilogues Book 1, Riley. Keep listening for a preview of the Riley Adamson Epilogues Book 1, Riley, in glorious graphic audio.
I used to know myself. I was a tracker, a finder of missing children, a writer of wrongs. I have battled demons, monsters, and elementals in order to keep my family and friends, and even the world, safe. I have lost those I loved, all to keep this world intact and free of the darkness. I am feared for my fighting ability and my hair trigger anger. And now? Ugh,
get me a f***ing diaper! I'm all out!
I held the squirming baby ogre to the changing table. His light blue legs kicked playfully as he giggled and laughed. One peek was all I needed to call for backup. His diaper was full of a bright green shit that I had no idea how he'd managed. How could it possibly be neon green? Even 6 months into caring for three ogre babies, I was still learning the ropes as to what to expect. For all I knew, neon green shit that smelled like death in an outdated tuna can was normal. They hadn't eaten anything even remotely close to what I was seeing in his diaper. A waft of putrid fumes floated up my now extra sensitive nose. The squealing little guy laughed harder with each gag, as though I were doing it on purpose.
Not funny, Gav!
Damn, this was one of the downsides to having senses keyed in overdrive. I shied away from those thoughts, away from the reality of what I was now. As long as I didn't think about it too much, I could pretend nothing had changed. Sure, to the outside world, I could say the words, "I'm a daywalking vampire." But to me, what I was really saying was, "I'm officially a monster, a bad guy." It didn't really matter that Doran and Ferris turned out to be good guys. I just couldn't reconcile myself with the creature I was.
Cav, hold still, please?
I had to be careful how much pressure I had on the little guy. I was still figuring out the limits of my strength, if there were any. The last thing I wanted was to hurt one of the babies because I made a quick grab to stop them from doing something. More and more I'd been pulling back, keeping myself from helping as much even when I longed to hold them. What if I hurt one of them? Accident or not, I would never forgive myself. Perhaps it would have been better if I'd died, in order to close the veil with my life rather than Alex's. The pain of watching my daughter and the children I'd adopted, not touching and holding them, it tore at my heart, tore at my soul. They'd been everything I fought for.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind. On the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.